Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Inger, today with my fabulous co-host.
Hey, guys. This is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro.
So today we're going to be talking about sleep and the importance of it and different ways that you can improve sleep quality and your environment. But first, I would be totally remiss if I did not give you all the couple of golden nuggets that I asked Alyssa after the interview last week with her pro tan tips. So some things that were on my list that I just didn't get to on that interview was tanning bed use before competition. And so this is what Alyssa said. As for the beds, I'm not against the use of them. I am against the improper, unsafe use of them. So those who do utilize such should just ensure that they are not burning prior to the tanning or ever and stop the use of this when you stop the use of lotion. So if you remember from the last podcast, the remnants of the lotion should be out in two showers. So my rule of thumb would be like a Thursday if you are doing your, you know, show on Saturday. So you'll want to discontinue on that Wednesday from what I interpret there. But as a person that has a mother, father, and sister that have had skin cancer removed, this is why I use either Sunny Day or the competition base coat when I'm doing like a posing seminar, a photo shoot, or, you know, outside of my competition, like as Shia mentioned, when I present trophies, I just like to use the color and just completely saturate my skin with 50 SPF when I'm out in the sun. My kids think I'm kind of ridiculous because I wear this big hat to cover my face and I just coat it on. But yeah, the health of your skin is so important in preventing skin cancer. So the other question that I had for her that I couldn't believe that I didn't ask was, I see this all the time, especially in the summer. My competitors do their check-in photos and they have this white rear end because they wore full butt bottoms when they were out in the sun. And just to prevent that, if you're thinking about being in this sport long-term, I actually always buy a thong bottom and a bandeau top so I don't get the lines, just in case like some of my crazy sunscreen, you know, wears off or something in the water. I always wear stuff that wouldn't make crazy lines on stage. So you have to think like that's going to be super uneven. And how important are the glutes? Like incredibly, right? So you want to make sure that you aren't getting those lines. But Alyssa's tip is for the lines, the best way is to avoid it at all costs, obviously. And then if it's noticeable come the week of the show, they should apply the base coat and more specifically to the region that it's white to even it out. So no long-term tanning lines should be obtained. A competitor must be mindful of this before competing. So in my opinion, yeah, I would just try to avoid it as much as possible. But once that has been done, I know for me too, I've recommended, which I hate tanning beds, so I'm not a huge fan, but go in the ultra filtered beds, put sunscreen on the parts that are already bronzed and the white part, you know, lesser, so it can kind of get evened out. But I mean, again, I'm not a huge fan. What are your thoughts, Chris, on that?
I've actually, that happened to me. I remember doing a check-in with you and I had some pretty significant tan lines on my backside. And I did use a tanning bed. I actually did maybe like two or three times. Like, I don't know. It's been so long since I've done that. And it did help even out my tan, like you suggested. But I was also far enough out from my show where my tan lines were able to, fade a little bit. So I do think it's, you know, it's important just to keep track of being outside in the sun and making sure that your physique is going to have an even, color. So yeah. And also too, like getting, I always get nervous when people are outside in the sun close to their show day when, you know, you're going to have to exfoliate your skin. So you don't want to burn, because that's just going to cause a lot of inconsistency in your blank canvas, like she was saying. So yeah, if you haven't listened to that podcast, definitely listen to it. I feel like there was so much information that was really helpful.
Yes, and we do have some winners to, or we have some contestants, I guess you would say, that I need to draw from. So we're actually going to do that before we get started on the podcast. So if you recall from last week, you needed to follow Pro Tan Official, Glam Girl Bikini, and Prep Life Podcast on Instagram. And then you needed to obviously listen to that episode, because we said it right at the end. So we had a lot of entries that took a screenshot of the episode and then put it on their stories and tagged us. So all of these people in this pot right in front of me are from that, this last week of people tagging us. So the first one, since there were so many entries, I wanted to make sure that we didn't just give all of this stuff to one person. So the first one I'm going to draw for is the competition base coat, and open this up, and it's carry forward underscore fit. You win.
Yay!
The competition base coat. Okay, and then the next one is going to be the Get Buffed, which is the skin prep lotion and scrub, and that one is Julie Skipper Noon.
Yay!
The crowd goes wild. We need like a clapper.
I know. I feel like there should be a sound effect that goes with it.
Okay. And then the last one is the Just Chillin' cover up. And that goes to Elizabeth underscore Heart underscore KC. She's one of our
Yay!
Coaches.
So, oh my gosh.
Okay. Well, very cool. So getting into the sleep podcast. So I just want to point out, first of all, what's some things that insufficient sleep can do to our bodies? So It can result in elevated cholesterol, insulin resistance, weight gain, reduced immune function, which in a pandemic is super important to have, good immunities, and it can disrupt your gut bacteria. You can experience muscle loss, and that's just to name a few. So most of us prep lifers are not wanting to gain weight, at least in the body fat area. And we are not wanting to lose muscle. So those two right there, have a huge impact on that. And, So why don't we just dive right into how to optimize your sleep environment? Chris, why don't you start?
Great. So the first thing is super simple that I think a lot of us either we hear about or we're just not good at implementing is your light. So it's normal for your body to produce cortisol in the morning, especially when you start seeing the sunlight, which helps you wake up in the morning. And, you know, as the sun goes down, your body starts to produce melatonin, which helps your body relax and go to sleep. But because we have so much artificial light, sometimes our melatonin production at nighttime can be delayed. So it's important to control the light within your environment, specifically blue light, which we find a lot with electronics. I think your phone is probably the worst. So scrolling in bed on, you know, Instagram or texting can actually hurt your sleep cycle. And also a lot of people use, like watching television at night to help you relax and just do something that's not cognitively stimulating after a stressful day. So making sure that the lights within your room are dim. They suggest 90 minutes prior to bedtime. And also taking a break from electronics before going to sleep. So activities maybe like reading. My boyfriend and I have implemented like a nighttime stretching and using a Theragun before we go to sleep, something that's a little bit more relaxing and calming. And just making sure that if you are sleeping in a room that does get a lot of outside light, whether it's street light street light, or you need to sleep a little bit longer and the morning sunshine wakes you up, using blackout curtains or eye mask, something that will help you keep your keep light from entering into your eyes can actually help with your sleep cycle. So
and then if you do need a light night light, make sure it's the red orange bulb. So mm-hmm. And then the next point is lowering your temperature. It's the experts recommend a 60 to 67 degrees Fahrenheit overnight for the best support for your rest. And then if lowering the heat or the air conditioning to this level is not an option, just turn on a fan in your room and let it circulate, and that will really mm-hmm. help cut down on the humidity, and it'll give you that cooler feeling when you're sleepy.
Yes. Another thing that's important is sound. So if you sleep really well in silence, because that's what you're accustomed to, utilizing earplugs can be really helpful, especially, you know, if you travel and you're staying in a hotel and you're used to just being in a home that doesn't have a lot of outside noise. Always having earplugs is a really great way to cut down on outside noise. And then also, if you do well sleeping with a little bit of background noise, like a fan, excuse me, it's good to
Chris? Okay, she cut out there for a second. I'm going to go ahead and pick up where she left off. So you want to make sure that you're using like a noise machine. If that's something that you need, kind of like that white noise sound, they have a noise machine app. I think they even have a fan app. And then you just want to prioritize your comfort. So, I mean, you spend 1/3 of your day in bed. And so we, you know, encourage you to have a high quality mattress, a pillow, and sheets that are comfortable. And while those higher thread counts can tend to be better for durability, they're just less breathable. So try to avoid at all costs trapping your body heat, and look for thread counts that are below 400. And you might want to just look for a mattress that also maximizes that airflow as well. Are you back with us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. So why don't you take the calming scents?
Okay, yes. So appealing to your sense of smell is also helpful for relaxing. Lavender, for instance, can really help promote calming effects. So using an essential oil diffuser or a spray can, and sometimes people like spritz them on their sheets, that can also help simulate a good night's rest.
Yeah. And so just diving deeper into the finding that right kind of mattress, you want to make sure that, you know, you're fully recovering and that your, you know, tasks and stressors and everything are, your REM cycles are deep at night and that you're resetting your adrenals. So just make sure that, you know, when you do choose a mattress, pick one that's personalized for your comfort and your needs. So, you know, it may be that you try to get one that's has like more advanced materials so that we can really, you know, maintain that ideal body temperature at night. And then let's talk about having a hard time falling asleep. Why don't you take the first one there? If you're having a hard time falling asleep.
Yes. So engaging in stress relief techniques is a great way to get your body started into like a good rhythm, especially a good nighttime routine. So things like deep breathing or meditation, journaling, and yoga are also really good nighttime routine activities that kind of help you get into that relaxation mode.
Yeah. And I do the foam rolling as well. I also do the Theragun, like you were mentioning. My family and I, we read together, and things like that. So I think those types of routines are important, but also at the same time, just sticking to a regimen and schedule, because we know by 7 o'clock, like we're going to start heading upstairs and getting ready. And that really supports your circadian rhythms so that your body knows when it's going to bed, and then trying to wake up around the same time every single day. even on weekends. So we have to get up pretty early for my kids to get to school. And we try to maintain that same schedule on the weekend so that things are not thrown off.
Great. Yeah, another thing too that actually I experience a lot is just having a running list of things in your head that you should be doing or trying to remember or stuff that you want to implement tomorrow. So sometimes that can be disruptive in when you're trying to fall asleep because your brain is now trying to navigate all these things that are like racing through your mind. So taking maybe like 10 minutes to write down you know, things that you want to accomplish tomorrow or things that are, you know, things that you want to implement later in the week. Just writing it down helps remove it from your head. That's why journaling especially is really good to kind of like take some time for reflection, kind of set it aside, and then that way you can start into a better night's sleep.
Yeah, and then you're not getting the blue light. So a lot of us, we yes. like to use apps and we like to use checklists on our phone and notes and things like that. So here's a time that pen and paper can be way more beneficial so that your melanopsin is sensing the light changes of the day. And this one, I think we're all probably good on and we can check that box. It's the move during the day. So consistent exercise can really regulate our circadian rhythms. And it also really will support the evening melatonin production. And then it also mm-hmm. reduces cortisol at night. So you want to be leveling off your cortisol at night so that melatonin can take over and put you to sleep.
Excellent. Yeah. And I think definitely the having a nighttime ritual is really important. So choosing whatever it is that helps you relax, but remembering, you know, the small factors of dimming the lights or lowering the temperature just gives your body subconscious cues that it's time to go to sleep. And that can help you when it comes time to get into bed. So I like that you set aside a time, Amy, for your family to, you know, start organizing into those nighttime routines because it just helps your body into that natural rhythm.
Yeah. And I have a lot of clients that are like, what? No TV. Like, what am I supposed to do? And so some other suggestions would be just taking a hot bath. You know, yeah. some vasodilation is really going to help bring things down and calm you down.
Yes.
So you're less in that fight or flight mode and more in that relaxed state. And then just drinking like a hot tea, maybe some chamomile or something that's like really soothing.
Mm-hmm.
I used to drink sleepy time tea and I don't do it as much. But just obviously a non-caffeinated is the key there. So,
yeah.
Okay. And so those that are having trouble staying asleep, which can be a totally different issue. Do you want to start mm-hmm. with the first one there?
Yeah. So you just want to keep track of your caffeine intake. They say as a general rule, you want to refrain from drinking caffeine at least 6 hours prior to your bedtime. So especially for those of us that have workouts that are after our work day, so we're hitting the gym from 3 to 6 p.m. or even later, it's just important to make sure that you're paying attention to, you know, what caffeine you're using in that afternoon lull or a pre-workout prior to your exercise, because that could be something that's affecting your sleep. You may come home and fall asleep, but staying asleep, you know, that caffeine may be affecting it in that way as well. So
and everybody metabolizes it differently. So the six is, as she mentioned, a general rule of thumb, but mm-hmm. I know that I have clients that are extremely sensitive to caffeine and they cannot, you know, they would have to stop taking it way before that. And then I have others that are very resistant to it and that metabolize it pretty quickly. So mm-hmm. just checks and balances of how you feel physically, emotionally. And then you can kind of, you know, reduce from that scenario of your bio cues, like when you're actually going to cut that off. And then of course, correct. Refraining from alcohol, is definitely a way that it's going to help you fall asleep and stay asleep. So you may like initially get sleepy from a beverage with drinking a drink, but the quality of your sleep actually really does suffer. So it's more likely that you're going to wake up in the middle of the night. And one thing I have noticed too with that is just like I feel a lot more hot, and I don't know if it's my body. This is just purely anecdotal, but I don't know if my body is metabolizing the alcohol, and so I get really, really hot when I drink alcohol, and it really disrupts my sleep. So we
That
had
makes sense.
mentioned like the temperature cues and things like that, so could be
Yeah,
correlated.
absolutely. Yeah. Another thing to keep in mind as well is what you're eating throughout the day can affect your sleep at night. So keeping your blood sugars balanced is a precursor to your night's sleep sometimes. So, a single night of shortened sleep decreases your ability to manage blood sugar levels and increases carbohydrate cravings. So, your sleep cycle does affect, your hormones, and your blood sugars do affect your sleep cycle. So, they work in tandem back and forth. Throughout the day, it's best to have, high quality protein, your fiber, healthy fats, so you have a steady stream of energy. And this will keep your blood sugars from spiking and dropping during the night as well too. So what you do during the day does affect your nighttime sleep. And it can, if your blood sugars drop too much, you can find that you're waking up in the middle of the night. A lot of processed and added sugar foods are best avoided in the evenings because that can actually it will actually increase your blood sugar and also suppress melatonin. So what you eat prior to bed is also important too for your insulin and blood sugar levels.
Yeah, and so the couple more final pieces here on that one is just trying to work out earlier in the day. I know it doesn't work for everyone, but you just have to remember that not only does exercise spike your core body temperature, which is counterproductive to what we're trying to do, we're trying to reduce, cortisol and increase melatonin. And so that can really You can get a hard time like transitioning from being super warm to being cold. And so, yeah, it's just if you can avoid working out at night, cortisol will, obviously that's going to be increased while you're working out. So you just want to try to work out earlier in the day if possible.
And one more thing to keep in mind is when you are eating, like how close to the time that you're laying down to go to sleep. So it can take your body anywhere from 2 to 5 hours to empty your stomach after a meal. And sometimes having that meal too close to bed can interrupt your sleep process. So most recommendations are to avoid eating at least 2 hours before bed. That way your digestive system has plenty of time to digest your food and help you get into a good night's sleep.
Yeah, and it's not about some of the myths that are surrounded in that. I want to be careful to point out, like, a lot of people will be like, oh, you're gonna just use all of those calories for fat if you eat after 6 p.m. or some silly rule like that. But more it's about the disrupted sleep. So think about what we were talking about with like blood sugars. The alcohol, they raise your temperature. Digestion needs to take its course. And when you're sleeping, the more we can, make those couple of hours before we go to bed with, an empty stomach or fully digested food and not elevating body temperature through burning like our carbohydrates and things like that, the better sleep quality we would get. So.
That's well said. Yeah, that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay, well, good. Is there anything that you would like to add about something that you, you had talked about briefly what you and your boyfriend do as your nighttime ritual. Do you care to elaborate on any of that, or does that change throughout the year, as you're in prep or in an improvement season?
We
I lost you again. Okay. Chris?
now.
Okay, yes, I can hear you.
Okay. We just like to have a consistent schedule. So We'll eat dinner around 6:30, and then we like to spend like anywhere from roughly 30 minutes, I think, just either stretching, like we'll use manual stretching for both of us, and the Thorogun. I also like to get a shower. That really helps me relax at the end of the day. And I set my phone away. Like, I'll put it turned over on top of a table plugged in so that I'm not even looking at it or paying attention to any type of stimuli. Like, those last couple hours of the day are for me to relax, focus on recovery. And so, yeah, we just kind of like eat our meal. We do our relaxing routine. We turn off the TV at least 60 minutes before bed, and I'll lay there and read until I feel tired, and it allows me to go to sleep when I feel exhausted. I think sometimes when you're watching TV and you're into like an episode, you're more likely to push past your bedtime because you're really intrigued in what's going to happen or you're invested in the show. And I think if I'm already laying in bed, and also I'll use like a heat wrap as well too, that kind of helps me relax. I find that I fall asleep a lot sooner than I would if I was staying up watching television. So, and then blue blocker glasses, I'll wear them while I'm watching TV, just, you know, past 6 o'clock, just so I can, you know, take any precautionary measures to help my body produce the correct hormones to get into a good night's rest.
Those are good points. And I thought too, as you were saying some of that stuff, so I really get overstimulated with text messages and alerts on my phone. So
yeah.
I have set do not disturb hours that they start basically when I'm starting my evening routine. So I do plug in my phone, place it face down, and it's on do not disturb. So if anyone's trying to contact me, that is my hour, you know, my time where I kind of shut off all of that. And then I also have to take off my watch too. Sometimes I forget to do that because I'll get alerts on my Apple Watch, even though my phone's on do not disturb and my phone's face down. So I know I need to be better about that. But I found recently on the Apple Health app, you can actually set bedtime hours too.
Yeah.
In the app. And so I've been setting that on my watch. And so that helps too, because that's like an extra layer and measure of, I would have to turn off my bedtime mode, even if I was, you know, wearing it. So that's another helpful tip as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, I do find that just setting aside my phone and having other activities to focus on really helps me transition out of like a workday mentality and into relaxing. And the more that I complete those patterns of behavior, I feel way more efficient during the day and just more like myself. So, sleep is just so important.
Yeah. And I would recommend, you know, 7 to 10 hours of sleep is ideal. Nothing less than that. Your adrenal glands, you know, they produce cortisol and they can get very taxed. We have a lot of different stimuli, even though we're not getting chased by a cheetah on the reg. We are, anytime we get those text messages and alerts, those are all stimuli that can really affect our cortisol production. And it's important that we get into deep REM cycles, which is basically like when you're dreaming. So those deep REM cycles are the only time that your adrenals can actually truly reset. So you will suffer, I know there's no such thing as adrenal fatigue, but your adrenals will get extremely taxed if you continue these patterns and you don't get that deep sleep that can help reset them. So just a
good
little
point.
Tip there.
Yes, I like that.
All right, well, we're going to wrap things up. I am going to reach out to these individuals that won the prizes from Protean. So be looking for that if you are listening, those three of you. And if you are not already, please follow us on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast or at Glam Girl Bikini if you are interested in the ultimate unicorn prep and looking to take your prep to the next level with individualization. You can find us at glamgirlbikini.com. hit the get started button and apply for the team. From there, we will be sure to set up a phone call to see if that is the right fit. So this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini signing off with my fabulous co-host.
And this is Chris McColl, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.